Something coming faster than any of us can imagine and will change our lives in the most dramatic ways is AI.
And while AI used to sound freaky to me and just something that was going to take over my world, it really would have revolutionized my practice had I stuck around. Many of you know, I got so burnt out from charting. It was the big reason I left medicine because I was frustrated with the EMRs, the clunkiness, and the amount of time it took to learn them. Not only that, but not being able to sit and connect with a patient and look them in the eye, like one-on-one while you're actually interacting with them, the whole reason we went into medicine, not to do paperwork.
Yeah, so that's why May and I have started working with Lindy.ai, which is fascinating. They help you produce the most efficient notes, fully customizable, which is different than some other AI products, so you can do what you do best, which is see patients and let the artificial intelligence scribe do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, not only do you get the perfect patient notes the way you want, written in any format, for whatever specialty you're in, and maybe you're in ophthalmology or vet medicine, it will also create the note, scribe and send the patient follow-up instructions, referral letters, consultation notes. It's amazing. Lindy is offering our listeners a 7-day trial to experience the difference of their AI medical scribe. Go sign up at lindy.ai/bsfree to get started. That is Lindy, lindy.ai/bsfree.
Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
We are reaching altitude and the bomb bays are open. It's time for a truth bomb.
Something that's been on my mind, something I struggle with, and I know many other people do, is self-doubt. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit today, throw some thoughts out there, let the thoughts bounce around Tim's head and out of his mouth and see what he thinks. Many people who struggle with self-doubt, including myself, have maybe a background or a history of, you know, being pushed to perfectionism, being really excellent at something at some point in their life and relying on that, whether it be, you know, grades or a skill such as athletics that, you know, took you through high school or college or beyond. But once that fizzles and wears off and you're no longer number one or you're washed up, dried up athlete and you can't rely on that as your, reason for being or the thing that puts you at the top. What do you have left? And a lot of us have other things, but some of us struggle with doubting ourselves and our abilities in all the other fields of our life. We might be successful, but we don't see it or we struggle. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. How do you recognize it? What are the things that perpetuate that and how to go beyond that? So first off, you know, one thing I noticed for myself was that it was, for me, the grades, being successful and smart in school was my ticket. But once I was a little fish in a big pond at university, it made it really difficult. I had a lot of self-doubt. I dropped out of med school for a while. There was a lot going on. Even throughout my career, I would doubt my abilities despite being a doctor, having the degree. And I was thinking about it. I think some of our training in medicine back in the day where it was a very sort of harsh militant attitude too, where, you know, if you were lucky, you had a mentor or someone that would build you up and give you positive feedback, but there was a lot of negative because they wanted you to be better. And so it was always the, no, you're wrong. You can do better. This is wrong. Never being good enough. And that, for me, I think I took that and heard it over and over that I was never good enough despite still being successful. And so, and I had a couple of incidents in my career where I heard that from other mentors. I had a lot of baggage and things going on. I was sick. I got through, my training, despite having had some autoimmune diseases and some struggles. And instead of looking at the positive side and going, damn, look what I did despite of that, I just heard the, you're not ever going to be good enough. This isn't for you. So it's kind of like that talk we had before, right? Where is the glass half full or half empty? And the self-doubt and the talk in my head and the skills and talent were running out. And, you know, if you're used to not failing a lot in your life and having to pick up the pieces and just persevere through failures, but have been excelling and now you hit a wall, what happens? There's a lot of self-doubt. How does someone get to be almost 60 and doubt their abilities?
Because you expect the wrong thing. You expect success because you're used to it. Everything you did was easy for you. Swimming was easy for you. Dancing was easy for you. Skating was easy for you. Everything was easy for you. And that's the problem. People that are really successful, like mind-blowingly successful, there's two things that, you know, from the folks we've interviewed, like Steve Torrence, one of the greatest drag racers in the entire world, maybe one of the greatest drag racers in the entire world to ever exist. There's two things. One, you should absolutely 100% expect failure. And two, you should hate it. That's the key. You shouldn't fear it. You should hate it. Every winner hates losing more than they like winning, but they expect failure. You should, if you're in business and you don't expect failure, you're an idiot, because the best teacher you will ever have is failure. As long as you're failing forward, you are 100% objectively learning what doesn't work. So don't do that. Do something else. When failure crushes your spirit, you are done. It should never be the case. That's where self-doubt comes from. Like, everyone should have self-doubt. The only thing worse than than having self-doubt is no self-doubt. That's the worst. Those people, especially in medicine, are unbelievably dangerous because they think that they graduate from medical school and in 6 months they know more than everyone, like than guys that have 40 years of experience. Those people are horrible and dangerous. Never go to that doctor. You never want to see somebody that is absolutely supremely confident. You want to see somebody that is confident and humble at the same time. I don't care if they're a pilot, a race car driver, a physician, it doesn't matter. Self-doubt is important, but it cannot control you. And it will control you if you think failure in a business, failure in an athletic endeavor, or failure in any goal you have is a personal failure. It's not. You should expect it.
So let's talk about what would happen if you were to fail. I mean, for a lot of people, that's scary. But really, what's going to happen?
Well, of course it's scary, but it's going to happen. Like, we're going to put episodes out that suck.
And I get that.
And maybe this one does. I get that. But that's the point. Is as long as you have a feedback mechanism so you can suck less the next time, that's the point. And so the fact is like when you went to medical school and people are saying you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not, you know, you don't have what it takes. Do you know why they said that? Because it was 100% true. Because there's no doctor in any endeavor in medicine that's good enough, smart enough, and has what it takes. There's zero. There's exactly zero doctors that have that. And the ones that think they do will kill you. That's absolutely 100% a true statement. So you have to have a dose of humility. You have to have a dose of reality. And you have to understand that you will miss things and you will fail. That is life. But it's the attitude of, I'm going to fail forward. I'm going to do what it takes. The greatest teacher in the world is failure, but you still have to have your eyes and ears open to listen to its voice. You can't just, you know, and that, right. Like we have raised an entire generation of people that the second anything is emotionally uncomfortable, it means it's wrong or it's bad or it needs to be extinguished. No, it's a teacher.
Right. So I was listening to an amazing podcast a while ago, and I really wanted to write and share about it. Haven't yet. I think I'm going to listen to it for the third time. It is with It is with David Goggins, who, you know, he doesn't give many interviews anymore. And it was on a Huberman podcast, and it was amazing because he really hit the nail on the head and talks about how, you know, what have you got to lose? And he shares his whole story about how he literally came from the lowest of the low with no support and had to, you know, change everything about his life, including getting the right friends and losing weight and getting motivated and getting educated and pushing himself because no one else was there to support and mentor him. And he shares about how he's failed, but how he's achieved so many great things because, yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's painful. Yeah, he's fallen down and failed, but he gets up and keeps going. And so that podcast, but his attitude about how nothing's going to be perfect. Everything's going to suck for everybody. Even the people that seem the most successful have a hard time. And I think there's this fallacy that we see in the world where it looks like everybody else has their shit together and has it better than us. And things have come easy for some people and not whatever. And I think that is really a harmful thing too. And just to hear him talk about how he has achieved greatness because every day he gets up and he puts in the work, even though he doesn't want to do it. B, it sucks and it's painful. C, he has to just, I wouldn't even say use the word discipline, but just repetitive habit of doing the things even when he's not motivated. And I think that's a big part of self-doubt is because we're, you know, we have those fears and thoughts in our head, which are often irrational, make no sense, are things we take in from the outside world and process instead of taking in the good and the positive, but also believing the lies that it doesn't take hard work. It's not okay to fail because it is, and that's where we learn so much and we get better. And three, that everyone struggles and the most successful people have struggled. And if we can flip that narrative and start off with small little tasks and putting ourselves out there and just trying something. And if we go, well, that didn't work. A, it sucked. I failed. Do I want to keep going? Is this a goal? Or then go for it. B, it's like, that was a learning experience. I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to change some stuff and keep going. But I think if we can use those three key reminders that it's not going to be easy. It's okay because failing is learning and getting better and stronger. And that it's tough for everybody and there's no magical way, then it will be one of those things that just pops in your head every time you have the negative talk so that you can give yourself the positive pep talk to do greater things and do those things that you want to do, but have self-doubt.
Well, yeah, but to nail this down, it's not like you try to fail. Like that's the point. Like it balances. You know you will fail and you will learn from it, and you hate failing. You have to have both of those. You have to hate losing, and you have to know that you're going to lose. That there's the conundrum. There's the emotional intelligence it takes to be successful. I hate failing, so I'll do everything to not fail, but I'll still fail and I'll learn, so next time I'm a little bit closer. That's the key. It's not this pansy, half-assed, I'm kind of going to try because I know I'm going to fail. No. It blows my mind. Every single interview I've seen or we've done with people that are champions, they hate losing more than they like winning. That is that's kind of dark, but it's the absolute reality of what it takes for people to really be at the very top of their game.
So turn those thoughts around. Pull yourself out of the self-doubt. You have the ability. You can do it. Be a winner.
Bombs away.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD, to mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time, so we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BS Free MD. See you next time.
But we try to keep BS Free MD as raw and real as possible. We can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bsfreemd.com.